All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Speakin Podcast. I am FR, Chief Business Officer at Speakin. Speakin is Asia's largest learning platform for professionals learning via one-on-one coaching and group learning session. So today's podcast takes you on a captivating journey that through the world of finance and business success. In today's episode, we have the privilege of sitting down with a true force of to be reckoned with in the world of finance education, Sifu James. As an adjacent professor at the National University of Singapore and the visionary founder of Financial Storytelling, James has dedicated his life in simplifying and understanding the financial statement and driving financial literacy in a fun and an engaging way. So together, we'll explore the concept of financial storytelling and its power to demystify complex financial information for non-financial individuals and much more. So welcome to Speakin Podcast, James. Let's dive in.
Thanks, Afas.
Okay, so let me start with an opening question here, James. So help our listeners understand what is this whole concept of financial storytelling?
Certainly, thanks, Afas. You know, I'm a financial educator. I help to demystify financial statements and help people to level up their financial acumen. And through my experience in teaching, I come across a lot of people, of very intelligent people, entrepreneurs, managers, and they find numbers somewhat a struggle because when they look at financial statements, very important, they have it in their business, but somehow it just doesn't speak to them. There's a lot of jargon involved, lots of numbers. And so I decided that a better way to help to reach out to them to make it more relatable is to really let them reframe the entire experience that they have with financial statements. And I tell them that financial statements might look a bit intimidating, but think of them as just stories about a business told in numbers. So as with any books that's written in words, you can understand the vocabulary, the alphabet, you could understand wonderful stories like Harry Potter. Same thing with financial statements, you make friends with the jargon and the numbers. They will tell you wonderful stories behind the business, whether it's a good story or not a good story, but you get to make better decisions because you now could understand those stories.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for sharing your bit on that. So my follow-up question to is more on the purpose of, you know, financial training, financial knowledge. So my question is why, you know, having a financial knowledge is so important. You know, you briefly spoke about it, but help us understand how does it really impact or drive business success?
A great question, this one. Because if you think about financial statements, they are really three basic financial statements. The first one is always called the balance sheet. So the balance sheet story is revolve around three characters. They are your assets, which is something that you own, of value, liabilities, money that you owe. And the difference between these two will be what's called your net worth or your equity. So if your assets is 100 and your liabilities is 80, then your net worth is only 20, right? For example, right? So the residual is what's called net worth or equity. And why is this important? Because what it tells us here is the balance sheet tells you a story of strength and weakness of a business. How resilient is your business financially? If you have the two, so for example, a person who is like strong is unlikely to fall sick easily. A business which is financially strong is unlikely to go bankrupt easily. Generally, companies that went bankrupt tend to borrow too much money. They have too much liabilities. Like think about it, if your assets is 100, your liability is 80, then your net worth is only 20. As compared to if your assets is 100, but your liabilities are only 20, then your net worth or your equity is 80. So you're a lot stronger. You're able to withstand unforeseen circumstances like COVID, for example. You have better chances of survival because you're more resilient. So that's the first story that the balance sheet tells you. And if you have financial acumen, then you could make decisions around understanding how resilient your business is. Are you able to pay off your liabilities? Or are you chalking up too much liabilities? So you need to kind of manage how the way you are scaling or growing your business and just making sure that your obligations could be fulfilled before taking on more. So that's one way knowing like the balance sheet story could help you manage your business better, give you better control, which is very important. The second statement, second financial statement is what's called the income statement, generally called a profit and loss statement. Now, this story revolves around three characters as well, which is typically your sales or your revenue and your direct costs and also your expenses, right? Like your overheads, for instance. So an analogy you could think about is, for example, do you drink coffee or tea at first? Yeah, so for example, if you drink coffee, you may think of it, you brew a cup of coffee, right? Or you brew a jar of coffee. Let's say the coffee is $1, which is your revenue. Think of it that way. And but you can't drink all the coffee that you brew because part of it, you got to point to a cup called cost of goods sold, which is what you have to pay your suppliers for producing, giving you the coffee beans and the milk. And whatever remains there, you can't drink it all by yourself yet because you have to point to another cup called expenses. And this is why you have to pay your employees. You have to pay your utilities, your rent. And whatever that's left, hopefully there's something left. It goes in a final cup. It's like a small, tiny espresso cup. And that's your profit. So, so knowing that, you have you to visualize and understand where your money is going into. I may charge $1, but maybe only 10 cents goes into the final cup. And that's my profit. So to the extent that I could run my business more efficiently, bring down my costs, bring down my expenses, so that these two other cups are smaller, my final cup will be a lot more, right? There's a lot more that goes into my profit cup. Again, this is, think of financial statements as really your GPS. They help you to guide you in terms of making money decisions. Are you happy with your current level of profit or profitability? If not, what could you do about it? It's all in the numbers tell the story. And the third story is what's called a cash flow statement. So the cash flow statement tells you about how healthy your bank account is, which is very important. We all have bank accounts and we want to make sure it's healthy. Now, what do you mean by healthy bank account? Question, a fundamental question here, do you have more cash inflow compared to cash outflow? So if you always have more outflow than inflow, then you're running on a deficit. You constantly have to borrow just to keep your business going. Same thing with an individual as well. So you want to make sure that you have more inflow than outflow. And the cash flow statement gives you the visibility. It also tells you where your cash is coming from or where it's going to. So the sources of your cash is very important because you could have lots of inflow, but the inflow could be temporary happiness because you borrowed that money and next month you're going to repay, right, with interest. So cash flow statement tells you exactly where it's coming from, where it's going to, give you lots of control. So it's a great GPS definitely to have on your financial dashboard as you run your business. So for example, if you're running a business, the same thing happens, meaning to say that sometimes you want your team to look good, as in I got a big team, I'm growing my team, but that's probably an emotional reaction or decision that you have that's, hey, I'm growing my team, but maybe you're growing your team too fast and you're not bringing in revenue to cover your expenses. End up, the more you grow your team the more you grow your business, you end up having a smaller cup at the end, which is a profit cup, which is all, it's not full, which is worse.
Yeah, absolutely. Insight. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a nightmare to a lot of startups as well. I think this is pretty much the same loop where they get stuck. All right. So thank you so much for sharing your valuable insights, James, on this bit. My next question to you is more on the strategies bit. You know, because one is strategy in theory, one is actionable strategy. So when it comes to this subject, you know, what actionable strategies can leaders implement, you know, to foster the culture of financial and, you know, consciousness?
That's true, because what we're talking about here is really about ownership. I think ideally you would want your team, your staff, your employees to behave like owners, because owners take responsibility, owners care about the business. And again, it's important, right? That the business owners or the leaders, first of all, care about the team. So if you care about the team, they care about you and they care about your business. I think it works both ways. So the people really come before money in many, many instances. So take care of the people. And once you take care of the people, that people start to care, then I think it's important to start promoting what's called financial awareness and responsibility among employees. Many times people do not know what they do not know because they are hired not for financial skills and knowledge. They are hired for operational expertise, marketing expertise, correct? So
absolutely.
It's important to train them up for that role, because every decision everyone makes in the organization has both a business impact and a financial impact. You can't say, I want to spend more money on marketing without thinking about dollars and cents. I can't think about expanding my team without thinking about dollars and cents and what revenue it will bring. So everything that you make in terms of business decision has a financial consequence. And knowing, having financial acumen, being able to operate your financial GPS helps you to make those decisions a lot better. And to promote financial awareness, I think we got to start to make it relatable. How to make things relatable? Make it personable, make it fun, make it personal to the employees. like for start with financial literacy education, very meaning to say that get people interested, first of all, to know about numbers, and they are not intimidating. It's not something alien, it's something that affects all of us. Run workshops for them, tell them the value of budgeting, like you said, managing my credit card, tell them the importance of looking at numbers, and tell them things that they might be interested in is how do I invest my money. Then bring them into the company financials. Hey, same thing, if you are owner, this is how your decisions is affecting the business financials. Start to make it relatable to them. So people get exposed to this on an incremental basis, slowly, but they will build an interest in all things numbers. I think that's the first start, right? To get people interested, make it relatable. And the second strategy is centers around transparency. So leaders need to be transparent, meaning to say, hey, you tell your team, these are my goals. The question here is that, do you share with them what are the financial metrics? Are we on track with their goals? So they, if you do that and you update them with progress, then people could see the line of sight once they know the financial acumen and they understand the financial GPS and say, well, hang on, when I'm doing this, this is how it impacts the bottom line. And how do I steer it to get there faster? Or if it's deviating, how do I turn it back? So people now take an active interest because they learn something and they can apply that and they can see direct line of sight contribution, not like just do my thing and be in a very silo-based environment. They actually get to see the overall thing so that they can help contribute and chip in. This is, when talking about transparency, storytelling, I think, is very, very powerful. Because what do you mean by storytelling? It's about sharing lessons learned, being transparent about some financial lessons learned. The example that you talk about credit card is so true. Sometimes we make mistakes, we get emotional, we spend money that we shouldn't have. That could be important lessons to teach our children, for example. So I have a client, they put this in as part of the training. It's in their annual report, because when the company was doing well, it's a 100-year-old company. At some point midway in the journey, they did very well. They spent a huge amount of money on acquisition, a business that they realized they shouldn't have gone in. But it looked, make them look good at a time. Took them many years to unravel the financial mistake. And then, having learned that, they restored themselves and they make sure that all leaders go through training and say, please remember, like 30 years ago, we made this terrible mistake. Make sure you are now stewards of money. You manage the finances, you manage budgets, don't make the same mistake again. It's not about looking good, it's about making the wise choices. So financial storytelling has a way of just connecting people with what's true, what's happened, and just making connecting them to relatable at an emotional sense, so they feel about their decisions. I think that's another way they can help, right? And of course, bringing in open communication as a third strategy is very important. Promoting open dialogue creates safe spaces for people to really talk about financial challenges, cost savings, revenue generation, cash flow improvement. So make it part of the culture to communicate this in a safe and open environment. I think those are the three things that companies could do. So let's summarize. One of which is just financial education. Number two is more transparency. And thirdly is open communication.
Very well put. That pretty much summarizes everything. Thank you so much. Moving on, you know, we're talking about business perspective, and, you know, in businesses, typically, you know, there are different teams and different departments that we have, right? You know, on the collaboration bit, you know, how what do you suggest? How can collaboration between finance and, you know, business teams can be effectively encouraged, you know, to maximize the benefit on this?
Yes, what I've come across from my experience is that the business teams are generally non-finance people, and the finance teams they may come from have different perspectives and different priorities, because finance could see the numbers, but they may not appreciate the entire business, the customers, the challenges. The business teams appreciate all that at the ground level, they are boots on the ground, but they may not see the numbers at the level that they would integrate everything, other than perhaps their own like silo, their own department. So the first thing first is for them to understand the value that each other bring to the table, to be able to see differently across the whole organization. And that comes from, this where financial acumen comes in, is where communication comes in, for them to appreciate each other's point of view. They have a common language, and finance is a common language to help them to communicate and see each one another point of view. So having regular communication, for example, through maybe perhaps cross-functional meetings, or even have skills exchange. Business people can share with finance people, hey, this is kind of how we do business in India, for example, right? this is how we do business in Indonesia, for example. So it could be very different from where the finance teams could be operating from. They may be based in headquarters, but they may not appreciate the local culture, nuances, and differences. So having that will help to open up their mind. At the same time, finance guys would find it really useful if they share with the business people, hey, let me tell you what financial reporting standards, FRS, that we have to oblige by, what the auditors are looking out for, and you now know where the pressure points are, where the challenges are, and that's the reason why we ask all these questions from you. So they could see both perspectives and they work together rather than they are working against each other, because they always think that you're against me, you're kind of stopping me from growing, and you're not complying with the numbers. So I think it's really about elevating the conversation to a higher level, so everyone could see the bigger picture. Otherwise, they're just seeing different pieces of jigsaws, but really they forgot the whole picture. So
absolutely,
they're building the same thing, right? That's the key thing.
Yeah, correct. Thank you so much. So here's my final question, James. So this is more on what are the key approaches to monitor the whole financial progress that you spoke about in with aspect to financial acumen development and also maintaining motivation for transformation.
Yeah. So what we are talking about here is really leveraging financial acumen as a strategy. So it's not just, okay, I do a lot of training for my clients, and we do like we call finance or non-financial managers workshops. They're really useful, very powerful, quick crash course. So people don't have to go through like 3 years to study accounting. In 2 days, they can have a good grasp of what financial statements are, how to use the GPS. But I believe that more could be done in terms of leveraging as a strategy, meaning say, make it very deliberate, make it as part of the culture. And so that people don't learn and just forget, but they learn something they could use forever with the organization. So one way to do it is to create what's called a roadmap, right? A professional development journey roadmap that you have. If you're an individual contributor, what kind of skill sets do you need in terms of financial acumen? If you are a team leader, what do you need? And if you're a department head, what else do you need? So I think collectively, you can kind of start to upskill people along the continuum of skills. So skills, so that people will know, oh, okay, so this is how I can contribute more and more with each level of responsibility I'm taking on. And you could celebrate success, milestones, give them badges, recognition, and additional career advancement opportunities when they attain certain levels. Get them involved in bigger projects, for example, because now they have the financial know-how to handle that. So I think that's one way, right? The financial roadmap. And this is where HR can really come and put this all together. They have great expertise in this. And the second way they could leverage on that as a matter of like developing a financial acumen as a strategy is to invest in learning resources, provide mentorship. So you could have senior people, the finance people, more experienced, mentoring business people to tell them, hang on, come and study with me for the next 3 months to understand what I do, right? I'll share with you the thinking, the business process, the financial thinking behind those decisions. So people can see the other side. It's not a black box. It's not finances top down and telling me stuff or what they do. Peer learning, knowledge sharing platform, both ways will be very important. So when people feel supported and encouraged to learn about numbers and finance, they don't feel like they're asking silly questions. Then they are likely to feel motivated, energized, right? So I mean, I can ask questions until I learn something, and I say, hey, okay, the next time I know how to apply it and start to contribute. And the third way is to engage them in real world projects. So some of my clients actually do financial improvement projects, with that brings in collaboration of finance people, non-finance people. For example, how do I increase gross margin? For example. And this becomes a 3 months, 6 months, 9 months project where different business teams or of different departments work together just to focus on one thing. Let's improve our gross margin for the next 9 months. And then we celebrate success. We acknowledge each other's contribution. So it brings in collaboration. At the same time, it's not just theoretical knowledge that they have learned in the course, but these people get to apply in the real world and in their own business context as well. So I think those are the ways in which companies can leverage on them. And again, if you bring an external coach or mentor to do that kind of like guiding, is very much like action learning. So they know how they could make this in a very conscious and deliberate attempt to inculcate financial acumen in everything that they do.
All right. Thank you, James. Thank you for sharing your valuable insights and unraveling the power of financial storytelling on our podcast. We hope that our listeners is now more informed about the topic that we discussed and can make informed decisions for themselves. So thank you, James, once again. Anything you'd like to add?
Yes, Afaz. What I have prepared here is to thank our listeners for tuning in. I've created an ebook, right? A free ebook on how you could better use the financial GPS that we talk about. And this ebook is about mastering financial ratios. In this book, I've compiled a list of 20 common, but very, very useful and powerful financial ratios that help you to analyze your business so that you know whether it's going in the right direction in terms of whether it's your strengths and your weaknesses, in terms of your profitability, and also in terms of your cash flow management. So simple ebook with 20 ratios, but highly useful, highly powerful. And I would offer you as a gift, and I will share with you the QR code at the end of this video for you to download the book.
Thank you so much.